As we travel around, we continue our thread of airports on our segment that we call The Long View. Our contributing analyst, Neil Milner, joins us this morning. Happy Wednesday.
Thank you. Same to you.
So, airports. I know you've seen a few in recent months. What got you thinking about this?
Well, what got me thinking about it was a piece in CityLab yesterday where it talks not just about the airports in the short term and changes that have to be made, but it puts it in a kind of interesting historical and architectural context that, frankly, I hadn't done much thinking about, but is really important to understand. So there are really a few things going on here that it's important to understand about airports and our airport in particular in a pandemic. The first one is what kind of changes do you have to make in order to incorporate a reasonably large number of people flying again? That's kind of short term. But the second thing is long term, which is how do you change airports considering the fact that they don't have a history of being able to change very fast. At the same time, they've often become obsolete very quickly, and they're very expensive. So and finally, what you have to think about then is, okay, so you got to make these short-term changes. You got these other kinds of long-term sort of barriers about the architecture. And then the fourth thing is really, okay, what's going on to make airports in the future, like ours, more ability to what architects call future-proofing, that is, making them more flexible? So that's really what it's all about here.
Well, we're fortunate because our Honolulu airport, at least, is open air, and so that's kind of a nice, design element, and is good because you're not in, confined spaces. But, talk about the crowds, right? How do we manage those crowds? And I know our airport's in the middle of a modernization project, but, you kind of wonder, what are they thinking?
Well, yeah, okay, let's take the crowd thing first. When the last big adjustment that the airport suddenly had to make was 9/11, and they worked pretty fast and made some pretty remarkable ones, not the least of which was the security line, which goes on and on, people standing very close to one another as they wait to be checked by the, by the dog. How are you going to do that with requiring social distancing? What are you going to do about a kind of health barrier where you put people to be screened? All of those things become issues that are much more important now, because if you need space, you can't just simply create it out of nothing. And what airports have had problems in the past with is that they've been constructed in ways that make them pretty inflexible to change. So you have, on the one hand, airports that do these sort of cool designs that they're designed by particular architects, but then the airline goes boom. Or you have, which is pretty typical, you have airports constructed out of concrete barriers as opposed to, say, steel. And so you put the waiting area, in effect, between two barriers. Well, you can't cut through concrete and very easily, and you can't remodel it very easily. So at the same time, you've got to make some pretty rapid changes. We're really pretty limited to what it is that you can do quickly because of the ways that lots of airports have been designed. And then the design after a while turns out not to last anyway because the planes change and so on. But you got to think about the whole process here. You think about space. And then you think about space that you would need in a waiting area at the gates. And then that radiates out to things like restaurant space and all of those other things. So the airport becomes a really crucial but a pretty complicated thing to do. And I really got interested in this future-proofing kind of thing. What is it that you can do to prepare for these things more in the future?
Well, it's funny because we were just talking to an architect, an AIA architect, Dean Takamoto, and he sits on a national committee of, 60 or 90 architects across the country, and they're looking at, problem solving and in different areas, workspace, schools,
yep.
And, airports, I'm sure, are on that list too. So, all I could think of initially, about, you know, post COVID-19 is, oh my goodness, the lines. How much longer am I going? I mean, how much more time do I have to build into my traveling to stand in line?
Yeah, well, that's right, and also, just where you put people standing in line if they have to be 6 feet apart from one another in a line, as compared to what, a 16th of an inch that we, you know, that we now, as we crowd in, and right now the lines sometimes, I mean, I've waited in those TSA lines so far back that it was past any shelter, and so we stood there in the rain. Yeah, those are really obvious, and they have to be solved fairly quickly. But what becomes an important question for our airport is what's happening to prepare this airport for a more flexible future. Because two things. One, first of all, airports are becoming more and more problematical in some ways. They're very expensive. A lot of them are running up against barriers of expansion and so on. But specifically, here we have the Department of Transportation Airports Division being in charge of renovations of this airport that seems to have gone on forever. And most people are aware of the problem. The airport's not rated very well when you do these tourist tests. So you have that. You also have a structure here, an administrative, and it's really a political structure because it's legislatively created, that makes it very hard for the Department of Transportation to be able to make changes in a relatively rapid or flexible way. They wanted an airport authority that would give them more flexible. The legislature's always refused to do it. So here's what I want to ask the people who are now in charge of the renovations for DKI, for the airport here. And I don't know the answer because it requires a kind of expertise, but I think these questions now have to be asked a lot more, and one of which is the obvious one. What are you doing for right now? How are you going to make these changes from an airport that, even though it's open air, that takes care of some of it, but everything else that you and I just talked about, Catherine, is up for grabs, and it has to be worked out in a relatively short period of time. But the second one, in a structure of remodeling airports where we're not very flexible and where the political system in this state, the way we make decisions, is kind of cumbersome and slow, what is this airport doing to consider future-proofing? One of the things that architects talk about, for example, is you don't build out of concrete. You build more out of steel, because if you have to make renovations, you make it by. It's easier to cut through steel than it is to cut through, to cut through anything else like concrete. So, with the airlines going through this really hard time, air travel is problematical right now for all kinds of reasons, because one of which is a climate change reason. But the important thing is that we have to ask these questions about how future-proofed is DKI. How easy is it going to be in the future, given these remodeling? How much did they take into consideration the flexibility in design that you need to be able to adjust to unforeseen circumstances in a relatively economical manner, because money is going to be more of a problem about airports over the years.
Well, I think they're at a stage right now with the rental car facility, what they call the Conrack building. And I did check with the DOT spokesman Tim Sakahar not too long ago, and he said, "Oh yeah, well they've kind of turned the stone on some of the construction there, but they can't really have a big hoopla because of." You know, we're in the shelter-in-place, stay-at-home kind of mode. So it's curious. But, yeah, I can't wait to actually get back to the airport to kind of see, what's been done, what works.
Well, that's true, although I would like to get back to the airport for only one reason, to get on a plane and to be able to go safely where I've been waiting to visit now for what seems like a longer and longer time. You know, it's interesting you mentioned a facility. This has been a common trend in airports is to centralize car rental things. Chicago did it. San Francisco did it. Portland is more or less did it. You wonder now, considering the issue of social distancing and the spreading out, that if the old system, you know, where you had to drive to, you had to figure out how to get to one car rental agency and there wasn't another nearby, does that become more attractive now? So it raises all of these interesting, weird, but essential questions about if you were building in order to get people to congregate more efficiently, which is what we've tried to do in the past, anticipating that crowds are going to get bigger, and so you figure out how to manage them. That's not the case anymore.
Yeah, I know, a whole new world.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, and we'll see you at the airport sometime.
Yes, I don't know when, but I hope so. We can both fly together.
Yes, okay. And safe travels. Well, we've been talking with Neil Milner, retired professor of political science and our contributing editor today, taking the long view of the airports post-COVID-19.